Well, one of my roles as a physio was to help people with their walking, and often people would get older and lose their balance, or they would injure a body part, and for whatever reason they couldn't walk properly, so they would need an aid, a walking aid. And part of the job as a physio was to work out which walking aid would be best for them: a walking stick, a quad cane, a Zimmer frame, a wheelie Zimmer frame, a four-wheel walker, and there's just this long list of different aids you can have to help you walk. Now, no one likes being given a walking aid, particularly if you're older. If the doctor or someone says you need to use a frame, that will not bring you any joy. But most people realise that once they start using an appropriate walking aid, that they're actually safer and they're more mobile and they can get around easier. Now, it's been a decade since I worked as a physio, but I still can't help it when I see someone with a walking aid. If I notice that they're carrying their stick in their wrong hand, I just have to stop them, because I want them to be helped by the aid and not hindered, or if their crutches are too long, need to be corrected, and I still do that. Now, we're talking today about how to walk with Jesus, and the aid that Jesus gives us to walk our daily lives following him. So we're in the King's Speech. We've been in the Gospel of John all term. Jesus has been speaking to his disciples in the upper room, last moments now before he goes to the cross. In fact, there's probably only about another minute or two of his speech to go, and then he'll pray, and then he'll be arrested. Jesus probably not in the upper room anymore, probably in the garden with his disciples. And he's been telling them all about what it looks like when he leaves. He's about to go, and he's going to leave them with a helper, with an aid, someone to help them walk following him. And who is that aid? It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will be with them. The third member of the Trinity, God himself, will come and live in the hearts of people, his people. And we've seen that already in chapter 14, the Paraclete, we called him, or the Advocate, or the Counselor, or the Helper. The aid will be God's presence in the Christian's life. God is with us. And one of his tasks, as we've already seen, is to remind the disciples, remind them everything that Jesus said and did, and remind us and teach us as well. Now, in today's passage, we see three more things about the role of the Spirit in our lives as followers of Jesus. And I've made them all rhyme to help you remember them. And we can't live the Christian life without this aid, without this Spirit. And so we'll see that he will help us to testify, to identify, and to glorify. Testify, identify, and glorify. And we can't live without him. Well, let's firstly see that the Spirit will continue the work that Jesus has already been doing, and the Christian is to continue the work that Jesus has already been doing. Last week, we had a very strong passage. Jesus said to his disciples, "The world hates me, and it will hate you as well." You can either choose to live for Jesus or live for the world. You can't have both, but if you live for Jesus, the world will hate you. And so he called people to come out of the world, to follow him, to be loved by him, to be his friends, and he would love them. He would die for them. He would be with them. And now that Jesus is departing, the Spirit and the Christian, his followers, are meant to continue his work, calling people out of the world, calling people to be followers of Jesus, to be saved by him. The Spirit and the Christian would be left to continue this work. So let's look at verses 26 and 27 of chapter 15 to see this first task that the Spirit helps us with. It says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." So what's the first task of the Spirit? To testify about Jesus. And it's not just the Spirit's task. We must testify about Jesus as well. Well, what does it mean to testify? Well, it means to give testimony, to be a witness. In fact, it's a law court type of word, as you give testimony in court. Now, not long ago, I was called to be a witness in a court case, and it was terrifying. Stood outside the court case, and I was led in and into the witness bay. I had to stand. I had to put my hand on my Bible, or a Bible, and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And then sit down where I was peppered with questions, and I was trying to remember all the details to tell the truth. Now, that's what the role of the Spirit and the Christian is to do, to tell the truth about Jesus, to be witnesses. And these 11 who are in the room right now, they were witnesses of Jesus from the beginning. For the 3 years of his ministry, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' miracles, his interactions with people, his teaching, and therefore they must speak up. And of course, the aid, the Spirit, would help them do that. He would help them. And they did. They did it. They preached. They taught. They testified. They wrote down the words that Jesus said. They recorded the events. It's in our Bible. We have it today with the Spirit's help. Now, early in John's Gospel, we read that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to anyone who believes won't perish, but find their life in him. And so the fact is, the world must hear about Jesus to be saved. It's the only way of salvation, isn't it? To know about Jesus, to hear about the cross, to be saved in him. And how can people know unless they're told? And so it's the role of the Christian, with the help of the Spirit, to testify about Jesus. The Spirit provides testimony to the world, as does the Christian. We testify about Jesus. Imagine if we were given this task, though, the 11 disciples were given this task of testifying, telling the whole world about Jesus and what he'd done for them on the cross without the help of the Spirit. Imagine if God's Spirit was not involved, just 11 ordinary blokes given the task of passing on this message. Well, it would have failed, wouldn't it? It would have failed. Just like somebody trying to walk with a broken leg without an aid, you just can't do it. But here we are, 2,000 years later, in Albany, the other side of the world, and the Spirit has done his job. Christians have done their job. They've testified about Jesus. We've heard this same truth ourselves. We've been changed by this Jewish man, the Son of God, who was crucified in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And so the obvious question for us is, how are we going at testifying to the world about Jesus? How are we going as a church? How are we going as individuals, telling people about Jesus and what he's done for us? Of course, we have the helper. We've got the Spirit who's at work testifying for us to people's lives. We've got the Word, we've got the Gospel, we've got the message that brings life, and no one can turn to him without hearing. So we've got the right walking aid, we've got the Spirit, we've got the right message, the Gospel, but we just need to speak. You see, the Gospel is a spoken message. I know we often talk about the fact that we need to live out our Christian faith so that people will see it, and that's true. But imagine if you were a witness at a court case and you just went in and sat down, tried to provide a good example for the jury. You know, you have to speak. People won't be saved unless they hear the message about Jesus. It's a spoken word. It's backed up, of course, by our lifestyle. But will we do that? Will we speak? Now, we've been challenged as a church by Dan with a question of, who's your one? Who's your one? Who's somebody in your world who's not a believer, who you would love to see come to faith in Jesus? Someone to identify, someone to pray for each day, and someone to invite to come to an Easter service or Alpha later in April. Will you join in the task of testifying with Jesus, of Jesus? Join with the task of the Holy Spirit doing that. Now, of course, it can feel intimidating, can't it? Talking to a friend about Jesus, it can be feeling like when you walk into a courtroom and having to speak. But of course, the Spirit's at work in them, just like the Spirit's at work in you, strengthening you, helping you, testifying to your friend about Jesus as well. Will we take the deep breath? Will we open our mouth? Will we start speaking? Well, what do you need to do in this space? What do I need to do? what's the Spirit convicting us of right now in terms of our testimony that we are providing about Jesus so that people may see him. Well, the second thing that the Spirit, our aid, helps us with is to identify rightly. Helps the world and us to identify rightly. And this word identify is kind of the word of the moment, isn't it? You can identify as whatever you want nowadays. Things that are very contrary to nature. But there's three things in this very passage that tells us the Spirit helps us identify as that actually are very contrary to nature. So I'm going to read from verse 7, you see if you can see them. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can no longer see him, where you can see me no longer. About judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. So the Spirit clearly has a convicting role in the world, convicting people, showing them something about their lives. Three things, in fact, the passage says, about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. So the Spirit clearly convicts people that we're sinners, that we're not righteous, and that we are rightly under God's judgment. Or maybe more positively, the Spirit convicts us that Jesus was without sin, that he's righteous, and that he has taken on himself the judgment that's due to us. Well, what do you identify as? Because it's only by the Spirit of God that you can say, I identify as a sinner who's not righteous and deserves God's judgment. And it's only by the Spirit of God that you can say that you're a forgiven child of God who's been made righteous and no longer under judgment. Well, if you look at the passage, we see that when the Spirit comes, and he has come, of course, that he will prove the world to be wrong in terms of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, the Spirit has a convicting role or an exposing role in people's lives. It shows up what we really are. Now, many people, of course, try to do the work of the Holy Spirit for the Holy Spirit, convicting and exposing and showing things up. You can think of certain shows on TV like Four Corners or Spotlight or Sky News. That's their specialty, isn't it? Exposing people's sin and their lies. But I love the idea of the Spirit being like a spotlight that shines the light on people. You can imagine if you're on the back of a ute in a paddock on a dark night, there's a cunning, conniving fox walking across the paddock up to no good, no one's seeing it, then on comes the light, clear as day, you can see what it's up to. Walk into your child's room, turn the light on, see the mess, clean that up. You've got a splinter in your finger, you can't see it, but you go into the high light of your bathroom, maybe you turn the light on and suddenly you can see it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts. He shows up our sin. He turns the lights on in our hearts and shows us that we are sinners, that we're not righteous, and that we rightly deserve God's judgment. The Holy Spirit turns the lights on so we are convicted of these things. Now, the passage talks about these sin, righteousness, and judgment and gives a description which is kind of a little bit odd. So let's just go through them all. It says, he, that's the Spirit, convicts about sin because people do not believe in me. Because if people did believe in Jesus, they would believe what Jesus says about us, that we were sinners, and then they would go to Jesus, they would repent, and they would be saved. About righteousness, verse 10, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. You see, Jesus will soon die, he will rise again, he will ascend to the Father and be declared to be the righteous one, vindicated by God. But compared to him, even our best acts, even our best attempts to live good are like filthy rags before him. And verse 11 about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. Just moments after this, Jesus will himself stand in a court. He will be condemned to death. Satan and his minions will think they've won the day because the Son of God is nailed to a cross. But at that very moment, it will be Satan and his minions who are defeated, who come under judgment as Jesus dies and rises again and defeats them. So the helper of Christians is the Holy Spirit. And he plays a convicting role in our lives and in the lives of the world, confirming our sin and confirming or testifying to who Jesus is and what he's done for us on the cross, that we may believe it. Well, what do you do when you're exposed? What do you do when you're found out, when someone suddenly realizes how guilty you are? Well, what did Adam and Eve do? Well, Adam and Eve in chapter 2 of Genesis, they were naked, but they felt no shame. It says that. And then in chapter 3, they disobeyed God. They ate the forbidden fruit. What did they do? They hid. They felt shame and they covered themselves up. They were ashamed to be in God's presence. Well, you and me, God's Spirit shines on our hearts, convicts us of our sin, and the world the same. And there's two options when you're showing up. You either hide, run, and be justifying of all your own things, or you fess up and you go to God and ask for his mercy. You either harden your heart or you repent and you're forgiven. They're your two options. When you're showing up for your sin, you repent or you harden. That's it. Well, which one does God want us to do? Well, it's quite obvious, isn't it? He wants us to fess up, to confess our sin, come to him in mercy, ask for his forgiveness. And of course, what happens when we do? He shows us his mercy. He forgives us our sin. We're in right relationship with him. But so many times, Christians and the world harden our hearts. We don't admit our sin. We deny it and we're not forgiven. Now, the help of this aid, the Spirit, is so helpful for us Christians to help us live rightly before God, but also helpful in terms of the non-Christian, because this same Spirit is at work in the one person that you're praying for and that you're inviting to come to Alpha or to Easter. He's at work convicting them of their sin and their need to know Jesus as well. Now, perhaps today you're here and you don't know Jesus. You're not following him. You're not a Christian. Well, the Spirit right now is convicting you that you need to follow him, that you need to come to him and be forgiven. Will you? Or will you run? Will you hide? Will you block him out? You can come to Jesus today and be saved. He is here. He will give you his mercy. If you're a Christian today and you're living in persistent sin, well, the same Spirit is at work in your life. The lights are shining on you by the Spirit, showing up your sin. Maybe you've been convicted of what you look at with your eyes, what you think about in your heart, what you spend your money on, how you're treating someone, a broken relationship maybe, an addiction, an inappropriate relationship. Even right now, as I speak, the Spirit is at work in our hearts, convicting us of our sin. And we have two options, don't we? We either harden our hearts, we block him out, we self-justify, or we confess and we go to God seeking his forgiveness. We repent and we ask for his help to change. Which one will you do? How will you respond to the work of the Spirit in your life? Well, we see the Spirit's the indispensable helper of Christians, continuing the work of Jesus to testify about Jesus and to convict the world of our sin, righteousness and judgment. Well, finally in the passage, we see the final or the third one for this passage, role of the Spirit, and that's to glorify Jesus. Look with me from verses 12 to 15. Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Now, we've been talking a lot about the role of the Holy Spirit in this sermon series in the upper room. Jesus is leaving and he wants to put the people to know, the disciples, and us about the role of the Spirit in our lives. Next term, we're going to preach through 1 Corinthians, and we'll talk a lot more about the role of the Spirit and particularly the way that he gifts his church. But some might say about Albany Baptist Church that we speak a lot about God the Father. We're always talking about Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, but we don't talk much about the Spirit. It's like one third of God we don't talk about. There's three members of the Trinity, of course, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is that right? Could we be rightly charged of not speaking enough about the Spirit? Well, the answer is yes, we don't speak a lot about him, but we can't rightly be charged because this passage tells us that we shouldn't. Because the role of the Spirit is to do what? To bring glory to the Son. He exists to be like a traffic attendant who's pointing that way, always pointing to Jesus. Like a sign, go this way, look at Jesus. So if our church is talking about Jesus, singing the praises of God, talking about the cross, then the Spirit is doing his role. He doesn't exist to glorify himself, but to glorify the Son. And therefore, the more we talk about Jesus, the more we praise God, the more the Spirit is doing his work amongst us. Well, Jesus was about to go to the cross, and he's going to leave an advocate, a helper, an aid to help the people, the disciples, and all who follow us to walk following Jesus. Help us to testify about Jesus, to identify rightly as sinners who are not righteous and under judgment, and to glorify Jesus. Maybe it's helpful to think about this in terms of light. The Spirit will always shine his light on Jesus so that we can see him. The world can see him. The Spirit will always shine his light on our lives to convict us of our sin. And the Spirit will never shine his light on himself, but always on Jesus to glorify him. And so I hope you go home today encouraged that the aid that we've been given in the Holy Spirit is a great helper and indispensable, and we can't live without him. But there's been some hard words said from this passage, and I'm going to give you a moment now to respond to God in prayer before I pray for you as the musos come. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, who lived, who died, who rose again and ascended to the Father. And thank you that you sent your Spirit, the ever-present helper for the Christian, your presence in our life, our walking aid so we can walk with you. Lord, we pray that he would do his role not only in our lives but in our world, that we may testify of who he is and people may see him and his glory, that he may always be at work in our lives, convicting us of our sins, and that we may never harden our hearts, but always soften them and repent and change, make us more like Jesus. And we pray that Jesus will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.